Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Rotter, your host for Heroes, and we're back to tell the story of another Carnegie Hero Fund hero. Joining us is Eric Zarin, the president of the Carnegie Hero Fund Commission, and also joining us is Bill Garrison. He is a creative consultant for a podcast that is working with Carnegie Hero Fund, and they are telling the story, the backstory, and the more in-depth story of a person that was the Carnegie Hero. Eric and Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks for having us.
Eric, why don't you tell us about another story?
Yeah, let me tell you about Pete DePinto Sr. Under file number 89440, a 64-year-old retired teacher, Mr. DePinto, saved a woman from being struck by a train on October 10th, 2017. It was in Brookhaven, New York. And let's hear from Pete's own words to set this up.
I banged on the window. I said, Are you okay? She goes, I don't know what happened. I don't know where I am. At that point, I heard a distinct sound of a train leaving the Bellport station, which is about half a mile away. And the gates came down at the crossing of Arthur Avenue and Montauk Highway. So I knew at that time a train was coming. So I yelled to her, I said, we got to get you out now. You're on the tracks.
So that woman's name was Janice Esposito. She was 43 years old at the time when she was driving a van. They collided with another vehicle and came to rest straddling a nearby railroad track. Mr. DePinto heard the crash from his nearby home and responded. He ran to the driver's door of the van, which was smashed, and told a dazed Esposito that she needed to exit. Suddenly, the crossing's gates descended and lights flashed, warning them of the approaching commuter train, traveling at 65 miles an hour. DePinto ran to the passenger side of the van, opened the front passenger door, reached in, and grasped Esposito. DePinto pulled her through the door and moved her off the track to safety behind a signal box. The train, which had slightly slowed, struck the van about 6 seconds after DePinto had removed Esposito. And Pete DePinto is one of the heroes that Bill talked to for the podcast.
6 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. What did he have to say, Bill?
Well, there are a number of train incidents that have qualified for the Hero Fund, and they're all white knuckle. There is a certain, when you hear the whistle, as I've done just a little bit of research, when you hear the whistle, most times you have less than 30 seconds before that train is going to reach the crossing. And in this case, Pete lived 0.3 mile from the track. He and his wife were just like settling in. It was an evening. They were relaxing. They were ready to watch TV. And they were looking out just before they closed up the house, and they noticed the clouds. It was a beautiful early evening, and Pete's wife said, well, look at those clouds. They look like two angels. And Pete agreed, and they were, okay, this is nice. Let's get ready. And then they hear a crash, and they could have ignored it. You know, there's other sounds that happen like that, but Pete and his wife decided to go investigate because they're not far from the crossing. And when they get to the crossing, they run into this young woman, 22-year-old woman, who was in the other car. And she's walking around pretty dazed. And they said, are you okay? And she said, yes, I don't know what happened to the other car. And they couldn't see the car because they were, you know, she was right at the crossing and they didn't know how the crash happened or anything. And Pete's wife looked down the tracks and saw headlights and said, there's a car down the tracks. And Pete looked and he ran. It was like 300 feet or so, ran to it. And that's when he heard the train whistle. And Pete was very familiar with what's going to happen in seconds. And he had trouble getting this woman out. He had trouble with the seatbelt. That's another thing that you hear. There's seatbelts that are going to save your life. Well, oftentimes they're what's going to be the barrier between somebody getting you out. And he struggled. The train is coming. He pulls her out and just sort of right at the last second turned and dove behind one of those electrical things right by the track.
Signal box.
Yep. Signal box. And just covered up and boom, that train smashed that car. And it was listening to him. And we had Janice on the interview. So when you hear that podcast, you're going to see it. And they hadn't talked to each other since the incident. And it's very emotional. And I ended up thinking that Pete and his wife were those two angels.
Wow. But you know, as you told that story, I had these pictures in my mind of old movies. Sometimes they were silent movies of the cowboys.
Right.
And they've rescued the girl that's been tied to the tracks by the bad man.
Just in the nick of time.
And all the times that the Lone Ranger was in that, and Tonto came and got him out in time. It's amazing. You would think that people could avoid wrecks with trains. The trains can't turn. They're going straight. If you just stay off the tracks, you won't have any problems.
Yeah.
But
somehow
we have story after story of people that are somehow by accident stuck on the tracks.
And she didn't realize it. She was alert and was getting her senses after this crash and did not realize that she was right on the tracks.
Wow.
Well, as Bill mentioned, you know, the commission has certainly stumbled across its share of train rescues through the years, and they always seem to be within seconds. But objectively, we look at those. We looked at the time and the distance because it represents a certain degree of peril if you become a hero in those, a rescuer in those situations. So that's why they usually are in the nick of time, as they say, because we closely consider that. But what we don't look at is the story that Bill told about the angels in the sky, were perceived by the rescuer and his wife before they actually decided to take action. And that really is the story behind the story.
Well, the story is that these are normal people. And they're like everyday, like all of us. And for some reason, they were motivated to save someone. And it's a wonderful story. And we all think when we see something like that, what would I have done?
Right.
Would I have done what this guy did? And would I put my own life at risk? And I think we'd all like to say, yes, of course I would. But who knows?
One of Pete's quotes was, I knew what I had to do or die trying.
Wow.
I had the honor and privilege to present the Carnegie Medal to Pete DePinto. And I can tell you that, you know, it never disappoints for me to meet these people that we actually recognize through the medal. But not surprised at all getting to know Pete just a little bit, that he was a hero on that occasion.
Well, we just have a few minutes before we have to sign off. But I just want to tell our audience, the Carnegie Hero Fund was started by Andrew Carnegie in 1904. That's 119 years. And it's always headquartered in Pittsburgh. And the Hero Fund is to give an award to someone that saves a life, and at the same time, their life is in danger. They have given, in the United States and Canada, they have given over 10,000 awards to date. And it's a wonderful Pittsburgh story. Andrew Carnegie, who could be the better representative of Pittsburgh and the man that started the steel industry here. And then all of these marvelous stories and always being in Pittsburgh. And a lot of times, a lot of Pittsburghers don't even know about this.
That's true, Jim. We're trying to change that.
Yes, I know you are. And recently we're on 60 Minutes.
That's right.
And that probably open a lot of people's eyes about that. And you have a board. They're almost all Pittsburghers.
That's right.
That serve on your board and make the decisions about who gets these awards.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Bill Garrison, who is the Carnegie Hero Fund creative consultant for the podcast, and Eric Zirin, the president of the Carnegie Hero Fund Commission. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us on Heroes, and we look forward to next week when we hear another story about ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.